you. And once again, for questions, it's star and then one. We'll go to the line of Jamie Ruby with scifivision.com.
Hi, thanks so much for talking to us today. So, obviously the show can get very dark. Is that easy to kind of get out of your system at the end of the day, or does it kind of stick with you a bit?
I find that over the years, as you know, I've dealt with a lot of dark material in the movies as well.
Right.
I think you have to find ways to protect yourself, you know, from that. And when I'm on the set, I'm very, very focused. We have to stay focused on our job at hand. And when you're dealing with things that are of a, you know, a thrilling nature, tense, ticking clock kind of vibe, mm-hmm. you know, you have to keep yourself in that headspace. But I work real hard to try to turn it off, you know, on the weekends if I can. And connecting with things like my family, my kids, my dog, you know, take a walk in the woods, you know, those kinds of things. You have a good meal, you know, they're able to pull me out of that headspace.
Okay, great. And like you mentioned, you have done a lot of films. Why did you decide it was time for television?
I had been looking for a television series for a long time and trying to get my head around it. My initial call, if you will, to my representatives was probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, wow.
But it just took some time to really find the right one. I'd seen Kira's experience secondhand and was also finding myself to be more and more of a television consumer as just the quality of the shows and the writing that just seemed to be getting better and better and better. And I just found myself really knocked out by so many shows and sitting down and, you know, spending a weekend watching the entire, you know, every episode of The Wire, you know, stuff like that. And then this one had the qualities that I was drawn to.
Great. Well, thank you so much. It's great to talk to you.
Thank you. And next we'll go to the line of Sonia Shirapatra with MSN. Please go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
So you had mentioned you'd seen Kira's experience secondhand. Did she give you any advice going into this yourself? And is the reason you wanted to do TV, because I know you guys are very family-oriented, does the schedule of TV, the pace, give you more leeway there?
No, it's not a family. It's not a family decision. Mm-hmm. You know, if anything, I think that's one of the most frightening. One of the most frightening things about it for me was the fact that I was going to be staying in one place. It's you know, in if it ends up, you know, that we, you know, go on for a few years, that's not something that I'm used to doing. I'm used to going from here to there to there to there. You know, even though we have a really, really strong kind of central family, we also are gypsies. You know, we always have suitcases packed, and we're not used to a steady gig. So that was a real adjustment for her on the closer, and I think will be for me as well. You know, one thing that we talked about was the fact that when she took the pilot for the closer, I remember us having a conversation and kind of said, listen, you know, it's kind of overwhelming to think that you're going to sign up for something for 6 years, but that never happens. You know, rarely does a television series go that long, and rarely do the pilots even get picked up and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, 7 years later, we're still, you know, she's still chugging away on that. So you have to really think about whether or not it's a place that you want to stay in for a good amount of time. And I felt like the continuing exploration of this guy and what is eating at him and what makes him tick was something that would be interesting to explore from a character standpoint.
Okay. And can we expect her to guest on the show? I know you directed some episodes of The Closer, and you guys have worked together before.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I tell you why I feel like that's really that seems to be a risky kind of. Have you noticed I never acted on the closer? Mm-hmm. And because I think that when you have a strong character and then you take, you know, someone who has a relationship outside of it that people are aware of, you can really run the risk of kind of jumping the shark. You know, it kind of feels like stunt casting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she would be interested in acting on the show. You know what? Never say never. I mean, you know, who knows?
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next we'll go to the line of Stephanie Goldberg at CNN.com.
Hi, Kevin. I was wondering how this sort of works in terms of cable raising the bar on horror shows. What can we expect to see on a network series?
Well, I don't know if I would quite describe it as horror. I mean, I think that we are making a thriller, and it's a tense, fast-paced, exciting thriller that has a lot of moments that are a real surprise. And that's really what hit me when I was reading the script, is nobody really prepared me. I really honestly wasn't even looking for something on network, but they said, I think maybe this would be one that you should take a look at. And so I found it to be such a page turner, and I found it to be have so many moments where I just went, oh my God, I really did not see that coming. You combine that with, you know, two other things. One is this kind of giant concept of the idea of this cult that Kevin Williamson has created, and just kind of the creepiness of that idea. And then the third, and to me the most important thing, is that it's an exploration of these characters and their relationships, and the fact that we're able to go back in flashback and get some insight into why they have become who they have become. And the fact that you meet this guy, Ryan Hardy, and know that something's bothering him deeply, but not learn all the details of that in the first episode, is a kind of an exciting thing for an actor to be able to, you know, go and peel the layers back.
And is that what you mentioned when you were talking about the reason you took the role is because of the things that sort of make this guy tick?
Absolutely.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question will come from the line of Carla Day at Buddy TV. Please go ahead.
Hello. I was wondering, because of the investigation, Hardy and Carol really seem to know each other in a very deep way. And while Ryan's not necessarily a disciple of Carol's, is he sort of a follower himself?
You know, it's interesting that you say that. I'll tell you what. In one of the episodes, and again, I think this was just a really cool idea from Kevin Williamson, we go back and we meet Ryan when he first meets Joe, and before he knows that Joe is a suspect, he's just interviewing him by happenstance on this college campus. And what you see is that he gets strangely seduced by Joe, not in a sexual way, but just in a friendship kind of way. You know, he is, Joe sees into Ryan and is able to, you know, kind of play him like a violin. And there's a lot of qualities of Joe that Ryan really admires. You know, I'm not, when I say me, I mean my character, is not an extremely well-read and well-educated man. He's not a people person. He's not a charmer. He's not a dynamic speaker. And he's maybe not even somebody that you necessarily want to go and have a beer with, you know. And Joe Carroll is all those things. And I think that I look up to to him in a strange kind of way, you know. It's one of the things that it's one of the dynamics of the show that I think is interesting and one that we continue to play with.
Excellent. Will we see sort of a parallel come into play that Carol has his followers, but now Ryan also has his followers, like Mike Weston, that have come to appreciate the book and what he did as an investigator?
I think that is definitely going to be there, and certainly with the Weston character. I think the difference is that what you want to see on Ryan's side is this ability. So here's one of the big differences between the two guys. Joe has followers and believes that he can create more and more people that come around to his way of thinking and likes to be surrounded by people. We'll see him, you know, his admirers and the people that are close to him grow and grow and grow. And yet, except for maybe a few, he doesn't seem to really deeply care about those people. They're kind of expendable in a way. It's one of the kind of sociopathic aspects of his personality. I have nobody in my life and have pushed the people in my life away. And when Weston comes to me, I don't want him to be close to me. I don't want Agent Parker to come into my life. Even with Claire, you know what I mean? I've walked away from her. I'm very resistant of doing anything other than just being a man alone on an island. And yet, as the show evolves, I think I get more of an ability to let people in, to take help, advice. You'll see more of that. And also, the difference between me and Joe is that the people that I do let in and the people who are in my life, I care about very deeply, extremely deeply. And that's one of the parallels between contradicting elements of the two characters.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll go next to the line of Virginia Rowan with the Record newspaper. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. I really enjoyed the episodes I watched. Barry, and like you said, the surprise element. I can't think of many times I don't see things coming on TV shows, but out of press tour, much was made, from what I gather, about the violence in the show, and yet I'm not really sure how you could, you know, drive home the horrific nature of these things without it. I mean, the other thing seems to be that, you know, I was looking at the top 20 shows on the Nielsen list last week, and 10 of them were like crime dramas. Do you see anything of a sort of contradictory nature in people, you know, saying, oh, there's too much violence, but we love violent shows?
I think that the show is a thriller about a serial killer.
right.
That's what it is. And it's not a comedy.
Right.
That when I go to as a consumer of films or television, if you're telling me that something is comedy, I'm going to be really disappointed if I go and I don't laugh. If someone has pitched something to me as incredibly moving, I want real tears coming down my cheeks. And if something is supposed to be a thriller, I want to be on the edge of my seat. I want to be scared. I want to have chills. I want to, you know, be sort of like, you know, grinding my teeth or turning my eyes away or whatever. That's when we make films and television, we, I think, are doing it to, you know, try to tap into something, you know, emotional for people. And this show is not an exception. That's what we're trying to do.
And the other thing is, why do you think people, and Ryan obviously included, why are people so fascinated by serial killers in particular? Lily.
No. You know, it's really interesting you asked that, because I'm really not sure. I was talking to somebody the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've known the guy for a lot of years, and he said, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, I'm elaborate everything about serial killers. I'm fascinated by it.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose, gosh. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, when there's a lot of, you know, darkness around, sometimes you want to just kind of, you know, confront it in a way that you know that is ultimately not real. It's a TV
mm-hmm.
show, or it's,
mm-hmm.
it's a movie. You know what I mean? It's,
right.
It's not. I think people probably there's probably more people, you know, watching films and television than they are watching documentaries about serial killers. But you know, I don't know. I really don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go next to the line of Kurt Wagner with Red Eye. Please go ahead.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
I was talking to Natalie the other day, and she's talked about her character's guilt over not recognizing,
sure.
you know, her husband's nature, her sort of true nature.
Yeah.
I was wondering, if something you said earlier in this call made me wonder if maybe Ryan feels that a little bit,
absolutely.
Too, although he figured him out. But
he figured him out, but he isn't. I mean, Ryan is is nothing if he's not a guilty person. He's got a lot of baggage, and a lot of that baggage is guilt. Because, you know, as I say, I stopped him, but not before he killed a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he has guilt about a lot of stuff even before Joe Carroll came into his life. Things that, you know, given the opportunity down the road, we may get a chance to explore.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Williamson said to me very early on in our conversations, and it was probably the most important piece that I needed to start to kind of put this character together. He said to me, this is a guy who has been surrounded by death. And that's continuing, you know, in his life. And when I think that part of him feels like maybe he has some piece of that, you know, that he has some responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he feels tremendously guilty.
All right. So that leads me to this question. What makes you want to go to such a dark place and do this kind of character and, you know, basically be depressed all day long?
Well, doctor. you know, I don't know, man. I mean, in the scope of a career, I certainly have explored things of a lighter nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm the guy from Footloose. The biggest issue was whether or not the town was going to be allowed to dance or not.
Right.
You know, Underground Worms. You know, I mean, I'm not. You know, I have this movie R.I.P.D. that's in the can, and it was really a great thing to do because it's I'm kind of playing a you know, sort of, I don't know how you would describe him, kind of like a zombie type character, but it was really kind of a fun and lighthearted movie. So I certainly like to mix it up, but when I was trying to choose a series, I wanted to be the hero.
Uh-huh.
I wanted the character to be complex and flawed, you know, because that's the kind of heroes that I like to play, and that's the kind of heroes that I like to see, and you know what I mean? That's the stuff that, you know, performance is made of.
Right.
And I found as I was shifting and sifting through stories and pilots, that I would really like something, but then I think to myself, I don't know if the stakes are high enough, you know. I wanted to do something that was about life and death. Because when I was looking at, you know, the things that I was kind of drawn to in a series, things like Breaking Bad and Killing and Homeland, you know, The Wire, even Game of Thrones, they were, you know, a lot of them are about life and death.
Okay. And then on a little bit of a lighter note, does James freak you out sometimes when you're doing scenes with him?
No. He doesn't freak me out. I love working with James. He's you know, it's just one of those, our kind of working situation is one of those things that it came to us so quickly in a strange kind of way. It wasn't like a, it wasn't something that needed to be nurtured and sort of built up over time. We walked on the set, did our first rehearsal, and just had a great connection. You know, I love the scenes that we get a chance to play, and he is incredibly well prepared, and just a great choices and a great listener and just a great actor. I mean, it's a real cast to play with him.
All right, how about those Poe masks? Do they freak you out?
They're kind of creepy, yeah. I'm not gonna lie. Those Poe masks it's funny because when I saw them. You know, when I saw them in the script, I was like, the guy comes after me with a Poe mask. I said, I don't know, that seems a little... What is the Poe mask? And then I saw the actual realization of them, and I thought they were really, really well done.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, and good luck with this. It's a great show.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, bye.
Thank you. And we have time for one more question. We'll go to the line of Melissa Hayer with The Oklahoman. Please go ahead.
Excuse me. Hi, Kevin. It's great to speak with you today.
Thank you.
I guess I should just go ahead and ask, what's your pitch? Why would you recommend TV fans watch the following?
It'll keep you on the edge of your seat. It will shock you and surprise you. And hopefully you will get drawn into not only what's going on plot-wise, but also what's going on emotionally with these characters, that you'll want to, you know, come back the next week to see where things go.
Great. I really enjoy your performance in the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. I just want to thank everyone for joining us today, and thank you, Kevin. Just a reminder to everyone that the show premieres this Monday, January 21st at 9 p.m. on Fox. Thanks so much.